If your name is John Greer and you're from Puyallup, you got 5 minutes to pick up a phone and call 206-286-9595 and claim your $100, man. Were we not 4 for 4 last week in the EQC Note Contest? I think we were, by the way. So because Ian Furness did not find a 2 o'clock winner, we have an extra $100 on the line right now. $200. You want to take part in the EQC Note Contest, text in your first and last name, city you're from right now to 49451. Then come back, listen, top of the hour for your name. If you hear your name, you got 5 minutes to call back and claim your $100. John Greer from Puyallup is on the clock. Got about 4.5 minutes. John Greer from Puyallup. Paging John Greer from Puyallup. 286-9595, Johnny, to claim your $100, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
All righty, here we go. Speaking of the Emerald Queen Casino, we are at the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook, hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I was just explaining it to you, hot dog head.
You're looking for tickets this weekend for the M's and Angels. Shohei Ohtani on the mound tonight, doubleheader on Saturday, Seahawks in the fall. World Cup in Seattle in 2026. You can maybe buy those tickets right now. Why not? Jump on the wagon early. Use code SOFI at checkout at VenueKings.com. Well, lots of news today regarding Seattle. First of all, we start in the WNBA. Sue Bird announcing after 21 years she will retire at the end of this season from the Storm. She spent every year of her professional life in the WNBA with Seattle. 12-time All-Star, 8-time All-WNBA, the all-time assist leader, 4 titles in the WNBA, 5 Olympic gold medals, 4 FIBA World Cup golds, 5 EuroLeague titles, and 2 NCAA championships at UConn. You know how many titles that is, by the way? Total?
41.
20. 20 championships for Sue Bird. Oh, by the way, conveniently, the Storm are at Connecticut tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Exactly. And as you alluded to, Seattle's been awarded a spot as a host city for the 2026 World Cup.
NBA basketball, Golden State looking for their 4th NBA championship under Steve Kerr. They'll be in Boston for Game 6 tonight at 6 p.m. Boston given 3.5.
Boston.
I like it.
Defending World Series.
And I like you.
Yeah, the defending World Series champs, the Atlanta Braves, were 4 games under 500 to start the month of June. Okay. They have not lost since. They won their 14th straight yesterday.
NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Colorado wins in overtime versus Tampa Bay last night. Game 2 is tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here on KJR. And the Flyers have a brand new head coach. John Tortorella, formerly with the Columbus Blue Jackets, was announced today as the new coach of the Flyers.
And here we go.
Level's good.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers. Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
You know, we started off 4 for 4 last week on the EQC Note Contest on our radio show. We can now go and push that to 5 for 5. Because John Greer from Puyallup has called back to claim his $100. I mean, some shows on the radio station just talk about giving away money. We actually deliver and actually do give away money on the radio show. And he wins $200. Thank you, Jackson, because nobody called back at 2 o'clock. So John Greer from Puyallup has got his $200. We reset. Give away another $100 at 4 o'clock this afternoon. If nobody calls a 4, it'll be 2 at 5. If nobody calls a 5, it'll be 3 at 6, by the way, on the radio show. But I'd like to spread the wealth and see if we can get everyone to call back.
Yeah, we like multiple winners.
When they're supposed to call back. So really, it's the easiest contest in the history of mankind. We don't even really ask you to do anything. All you have to do, and you know what, Dick, and the bosses might kill me for saying this, but I'll say it anyway. Because, you know, what the hell, I'm going to get in trouble for something eventually down the road,
exactly,
so may as well just go do it now and peel off the Band-Aid. We're tweeting about this on the KJR Twitter account, my Twitter account, your Twitter account, how to play EQC Note Thursday. You don't even really have to listen to the radio show. It's unbelievable. All we're asking you to do is just come back for like 30 seconds at the top of the hour to hear if your name is called. And if it is called, you call us back at 286-9595 and claim your money. Text in your first and last name, the city you're from right now, to 49451, and then come back here at 4. If you hear your name, give us a call, get your $100, and you move on with the rest of your day.
Yeah, you'd think we'd make them work a little bit.
Absolutely.
Like we do in some of our other contests where you say, hey, listen at some point during the hour,
yes,
and we're going to give you the phrase that pays or whatever. We don't even do that for this.
We don't do any of that stuff, man, because we, like you, are lazy bastards.
Yeah.
We want to keep it
easy
for everybody. So another opportunity for $100 coming up at 4 o'clock in the EQC Note Contest. Get your first and and last name, city you're from right now to 49451. Well, listen, where do we start, man? We got the Mariners tonight against the Angels in a five-game series. They got the doubleheader on Saturday. These were makeup games, by the way, from the lockout or the strike, whatever the hell you wanted to call it, pushing the season back in April. So kind of unique. Got a five-game series. Stanley Cup Finals went to overtime on our radio station last night. You'll hear game two on Saturday. Got the U.S. Open going on. Our buddy Joel Damon from UW is right in the mix, by the way, after day one at the Country Club at Brookline. The World Cup is coming to Seattle. NBA Finals. It's like a sportsgasm, baby.
Smorgasbord.
Here at the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook. But you know what? It's not very often that we start off by talking Storm basketball. And really, to me, this isn't even a Storm story. It's a Sue Bird story. It's an icon story. It's a legend story. And it really is more of a Seattle basketball story because, look, we've had some great players that have come through town. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Jack Sigma, Fred Brown, Dennis Johnson, Ray Allen, Lenny Wilkins as a coach, obviously. All phenomenal players, all unbelievable talents, some of them even Hall of Famers, for God's sakes. I don't know if any of them meant to the NBA what Sue Bird has meant to women's basketball and the WNBA.
Well, I can tell you they haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ian and Shockey put it very, very well when they mentioned that she's bigger than the league. And I was trying to think of players in basketball over the last 50 years that have been bigger than the league,
right.
And I only came up with five of them.
Right.
I came up with three NBA players, LeBron, Magic, and Jordan, and I came up with two WNBA players, the two that are considered like the co-GOATs of the league, Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi.
Yep.
Those five players are bigger than their leagues itself, and we have no other player in Seattle sports history that you can say that about.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how big a deal this is to people that Sue Bird is walking away. You know, shoot us a text to 49451 because I don't think you have to be a women's basketball fan. I don't think you have to be a Storm basketball fan to appreciate the name Sue Bird. And there's not many names that transcend sports. Sue Bird is one of them. Like, I think of the great all-time women's athletes of all time. Billie Jean King, I think about. I think about Lisa Leslie, for example.
Serena
Williams, even Venus Williams in some ways. And Sue Bird's on that list.
Yep.
Right, like she transcends basketball. She transcends women's sports. If you were to go around the street of any major American city and ask somebody, "Hey, give me three or four big time female athletes," Sue Bird is on that list. Absolutely on that list. And she's been hours and hours alone for the last 22 years. And I think that's what's kind of really cool, by the way, about this thing is that you're not sharing her with anybody. I mean, really, you know, look. Edgar Martinez, Steve Largent, Walter Jones, people like that. I think there's a difference in some ways. There's something that those people have that guys like Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and even Ken Griffey Jr. can never have because they went and played somewhere else, because they shared the spotlight with a different city and a different fan base. The fact that Sue Bird, look, if you're sharing Sue Bird with anybody, you're sharing her with UConn basketball and USA basketball.
Yes.
That's what you're sharing her with.
Absolutely. And she won the four titles with four largely different teams.
Right.
I mean, now she won two of them with Lauren. She won two of them with Breanna Stewart. But other than that, they were largely different teams, and she was the constant there. I think the most fun for me stat, and you want to stats are for losers here because I won't be here tomorrow. Sue Bird has been good for so long. She has scored or assisted on 28% of every basket the Storm have made in their history, and she didn't play 4 years. So if she would have played those four other years with Seattle, that number would be 36% of all Storm baskets were assisted by her.
It's incredible, man. Amazing. Well, congratulations to her. We just got word, by the way, that she is, and you knew this already, that she actually is in Connecticut already tonight because the Storm are playing there tomorrow, and guess who she's having dinner with tonight? Gino Auriemma. From UConn women's basketball team. So we're going to make an effort to try and get Gino on the radio show, if not today or tomorrow. Going to hear a little bit from Sue Bird as the radio show goes by. But the other big piece of news today is the World Cup. And really, look, Jackson, are you still with us, by the way,
yes.
in the studio?
Yes.
Okay, good. I have no idea what your schedule's like. There's a big party going on.
I thought he was supposed to take off.
Well, he's
like,
taking off momentarily because he's got to go get, you know, schnockered with Lagerway and Schmetzer and Hanauer and all the Sounders people
important.
Enjoy the World Cup. Look, the World Cup's not coming here for 4 years. Jackson's going to be 18 years old. You and I will be 70 by the time the World Cup shows up in 2026. And honestly, I make light of that. and I kind of poke fun at it. I think it's one of the coolest things, though, that we got 4 years to count down to this event. Do you remember? I don't remember when they officially announced the 2001 All-Star Game was coming to Seattle, but it felt like we had a few years lead up.
Yeah, I bet we can look that up, though.
Like the last All-Star Game or the next All-Star Game that's coming here next year was announced, what, late last year, mid last year, something like that.
That's about a year and a half, probably. A
couple years build up for this, but the fact that you've got 4 years to build up to this point, I think is really cool. We don't know how many matches, right, Jackson? We have no idea where in the tournament Seattle will be hosting games, correct?
No, not yet.
Okay, we just know that they are one of a plethora of American cities, Canadian cities, Mexican cities, Houston, Kansas City, Dallas, Vancouver, Canada, San Francisco, L.A., Guadalajara, Mexico, et cetera, et cetera. One of the worst-kept secrets in sports. I think we all would have been stunned today if the word came out that Seattle was not getting the World Cup in 2026. And frankly, I don't know how many people will be able to go to the games when they come to Seattle. It's in a 68,000-seat stadium, so a lot of people will have tickets versus, like, the NCAA basketball tournament at Climate Pledge Arena. But there still will be a lot of people that will get shut out. But we're going to have some time in the next 4 years to hear from people with FIFA, hear from people with USA Soccer, and talk about how we can give tickets away and get people excited and get people jacked up. I'm glad that it's in the summer, to be totally honest with you, because I think that an event like this, I know it's competing with baseball, but you're talking about a month-and-a-half tournament in the middle of a six-month baseball season versus a month-and-a-half tournament in the middle of a four-month NFL football season.
Yes.
So I like the fact that it's not competing with football. And I'll just say this. I don't know how many international events you've been able to go to in your life, Dick, as a sports fan. I was lucky enough to go up and watch some Olympic hockey in Vancouver when the Olympics came there. A few years ago, I saw the USA women's team kick the crap out of Japan in the Women's World Cup final up in Vancouver about 7 or 8 years ago, and then went down to South Africa for one game. I saw USA and Ghana in Rustenburg. There is nothing like watching a sporting event where everybody in the building that they're rooting for two countries. And I use this term very loosely, by the way. Very loosely. It is the sports equivalent of war. It really is. And I use that term loosely. I know it's not war. It's nothing like war. But from a sports perspective, when you have two different sets of fans rooting for the same country. I mean, dude, you're going to go to these matches, guys, and you're going to see Timber fans and Galaxy fans and Red Bull fans and Minnesota fans and Dallas fans and Vancouver fans all doing something that they never, ever do, and that's rooting for the same freaking team. This is the only way that you can pull this off when you have a country playing another country, and it doesn't matter what your MLS team is, your NBA team, your NFL, your baseball, your hockey, everybody's pulling for the same country, and I'm here to tell you, it's a totally unique experience, and it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I was able to go up and watch the downhill skiing in Vancouver at the Olympics, and I watched the moguls, and it was something unlike I've ever seen before and probably will ever see again.
Right.
And, you know, to see the Swiss downhill skiing fans. I mean, it's just like it is an absolute sea of red at the bottom of that hill. Like, they just invaded Vancouver. It was crazy. And I think this is the biggest event sports-wise we could possibly get, because
yeah,
I agree with Ian. I don't think Seattle could do the Olympics unless they got together with Vancouver and Portland and did a Cascadia Olympics. That would be the only way you could possibly have the Olympic Games in Seattle, because there's just not enough infrastructure to have a one-city Olympics in Seattle.
Well, I mean, Jackson, you said it today with Ian and Kevin, that from a sporting event perspective, this is the biggest sporting event the world has to offer.
Yep.
And it's coming to Seattle. I mean, look, obviously you've got the Super Bowl, you got the NBA Finals, the World Series, Stanley Cup Finals, MLS Cup, NCAA Final Four, the playoff, blah, blah, blah. But those are American-centric. Those are USA-centric events. And obviously some of those events are watched worldwide. We all understand that, like the NBA Finals and like the Super Bowl. But there's not a country on earth, honestly, that is not going to watch at least 1 minute of the World Cup when it starts in 2026. You could argue that from a standpoint of reach across the globe, you will never have a bigger event in the history of our time.
Well, and depending on which country you have playing in those games in Seattle, you could have, what, 90% of every person in that particular country watching your stadium at one time?
It depends on the
fervor of the fans in that. But I bet you, if it's England, I mean, what percentage of English, residents are not watching the English national team playing in a game in a match in Seattle?
No, it's big. I mean, I think it's great. I'm a fan of big events coming to our town. There's some events that I'd rather see more than others, and this is one of them. And I think one of the other cool things, too, from a Seahawks fan perspective, like buddy of mine was texting me, why should I care the World Cup's coming to Seattle if I'm not going to go watch the games? And I get that, because you could do what you normally do and just watch the games on TV, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're going to go, obviously you have a chance if you're in town. First of all, you have a chance to do something that, let's face it, you may not ever have a chance to do, and
most likely
go watch the World Cup.
Yeah.
Unless you want to go to a different American city, fly to Mexico, Vancouver, whatever. But, I had to go to South Africa, for God's sakes, to watch the World Cup.
Yeah, that's not the closest
flight. It's a long ways away. So, when you think of the World Cup, I think you think of an international trip on top of watching the soccer. Like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't just go to South Africa to watch the World Cup. I went to South Africa to go to South Africa, because I've always wanted to go to South Africa. Right. It was unbelievable. I wish I had gone there for longer. I was there for 3 days and traveled for four. It was ridiculous, idiotic timing by me, by the way. But you think of the World Cup, you think of an international event. So you may never have a chance to do something like this, and now you have a chance to do it in 2026. But what kind of upgrades will that stadium get between now and then? There's certainly going to be some kind of upgrade, right? We know that, Chuck Arnold was on our show on President's Day and said they're putting in new video screens right now on the north end of Lumen Field. So between now and 2026, when the World Cup comes to Seattle, you would think that there's going to be more work done on that stadium that could obviously benefit Hawk fans when they take off.
Well, I'm glad we've gotten to the point now where we realize our stadiums are going to be here forever, and we need to continually upgrade them instead of worrying about a bond issue every 30 years to blow up our stadiums and build a new stadium. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to have T-Mobile. We're going to have T-Mobile Park and Lumen Field for as long as every single year and a little bit of upgrades over the next 20, 25 years. And the Seahawks need to do the same thing, because let's face it, Lumen Field looks 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see them. That's actually a good point. That's a good question. Will they ever blow them up? I could see them blowing them up and replacing them, potentially, like they did with the Kingdom, right? The Kingdom lasted, 25 years?
The Kingdom
years,
was
whatever.
Built to last only 25 or
well,
30 years.
Yeah, but back in the day, they didn't think that, right? They thought that 20 years later when they blew it up. How about Texas's new ballpark? The ballpark in Arlington was opened up in, the 80s, and they just gave them a new one, right? Or the early 90s. So, look, the point is that if you do it right, you can just upgrade, replace, insert new stadium here, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? Some reasonable facsimile of those stadiums will hopefully, knock on wood, be around for a long, long time. But you tell us, 49451, how big a deal is it, and why is it a big deal that the World Cup is coming to Seattle? Sue Bird announcing her retirement. Where do you put that in the list of all-time great Seattle GOATs and legends and the Mount Rushmore? I think if we're going to do the Mount Rushmore conversation, which I always kind of cringe at the Mount Rushmore conversation, Dick, because I think it's one of the laziest things in sports talk radio that people can do. Give us the Mount Rushmore
of
Seattle sports legends.
If it's topical, it's not.
Well,
it's
not topical, lazy. But she's on it. Like, it's not even worth debating.
Oh, you can't even debate it.
You're talking about the Mount Rushmore of Seattle sports heroes. Sue Bird, I assume that everybody agrees, would have to be on that list. Maybe you guys out there disagree. 49451 is the text line. 286-9595, by the way, is the phone number that you'll call at 4 o'clock if you hear your name called in the EQC note contest. Here's the way this thing's working. We've already given away $200 to John Greer at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. Text in your first and last name and the city you're from right now to 49451. Come back again. Listen at 4 o'clock to hear if your name is called. If it is, you got 5 minutes to give us a buzz at 286-9595 and claim your $100. If nobody calls back at 4, we'll re-rack it again and add the $100 to the pot at 5 o'clock and give away $200. John Greer has already won $200 from Puyallup because Ian and Shockey did not have a winner winner for 2 p.m. So get those texts in right now to 49451, and we'll hopefully give away $100 again at 4 o'clock this afternoon from the Emerald Queen Casino. Brett Boone, by the way, is going to join us at 5 o'clock, courtesy of VenueKings.com, and talk some Mariner baseball. Apparently, Jackson Dick has a beef about a tweet that was sent out yesterday regarding the Mariners, so we'll get to that. We do the what the hell you talking about, Wilner. Maybe we do what's Dick's problem on the radio show. Maybe every third day we can just kind of stockpile things that bothered you up until that point during that time of day on Thursday. So we'll do the inaugural edition of what's Dick's problem coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
I like that,
how's that
segment.
What is Dick's problem? So you got to get me some funky music, Jackson, for 4 o'clock today. What is Dick's problem at 4 o'clock today? Bonta Hill, by the way, from the game in San Francisco, is going to join us next segment. We got Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Does it go to 7, or do the Warriors get it done tonight? We'll talk to Bonta Hill next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, we're at the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Brett Boone, courtesy of VenueKings.com, will join us on the radio show at 5 o'clock. Talk some Mariner baseball. What's the name of the segment again at 4 o'clock we're going to unveil today? What's Dick's problem?
What's my problem, yeah.
What's Dick's problem at 4 o'clock today? Maybe we'll just do it every Thursday. What's Dick's, it's not what's my problem, because that could be my problem. Yeah. Or whoever's saying my problem could be their problem. You follow me here?
Yeah, I got you.
So what's Dick's problem at 4 o'clock today? I wonder if we should get some texts in for this as well at 49451. Do we just allow Jackson, do we just allow Dick to decide the topics that are irritating him? Or do we allow the listeners to jump in at 49451?
My problem is?
Well, because they might have a problem with something that you said, and they could ask you what your problem is, right? Like, people ask me all the time, hey, man, what's your problem, right? Like, if I go on the air with a rant, or I go on Twitter or whatever, you know, what's your problem with this? What's your problem with that? What's your problem with the Mariners? What's your problem with the Seahawks? What's your problem with Russell Wilson? What's your problem with Pete Carroll? What's your problem with your crappy golf game? Blah, blah, blah. So 49451, well, maybe a little flavor. Dick's going to bring up a couple things, at least one I know, that has been bugging you, right? And we'll get to that at 4 o'clock, and then we'll get some texts as well and ask you guys to text in to 49451 a couple topics that you want to hit on in the inaugural edition at 4 o'clock today of What's Dick's Problem? All right, you know what my problem is, by the way, is when guys don't respond to their freaking texts. I mean, how busy is this guy?
Bonta ghosted me, too, this week.
Unbelievable. So. I mean, I texted the guy, Dick texted the guy, and finally took Jackson Feltz, our producer, texting him, Bonta Hill from 95.7 The Game. I don't know, maybe he's pissed off. He's got to work with that weirdo in the morning down there. And he's joining us on the radio show from the Bay Area as they're getting ready for Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Bonta, how are you, pal?
You know what? I saw your text, man. I said, I can't text back Softy right now. I got to straight up stiff him. Irish goodbye. And that weirdo in the morning, hey, look, man, this is a little bit in the mornings, man. Your boy's the number one show, so all weirdos helping out, man. He's not in Boston this time around. So as I'm on a media shuttle going to go do some things, this is busy. Everybody said, hey, are you visiting Boston? Are you checking in the city? I haven't had time to. It's been do this, do that. So, you know, life is a, I guess, aspiring broadcast journalism. It's not
easy, folks. Yeah, you know what? Cry me a river. How's that sound, right? Your team's in the NBA Finals, and you have a freaking basketball team unlike we do, and they're in the NBA Finals, and they're going for their fourth championship with Steve Kerr and Steph Curry. So give us kind of your just gut feel for tonight. Both Dick and I think the Celtics are going to win in Game 6 and force to Game 7. Do you think it ends tonight, or do the Warriors bring it back for Game 7 in San Francisco?
Honestly, believe the Warriors are going to pop champagne tonight on the parquet floor. The Celtics, they've turned the ball over. Things have gotten tight. They started to show their experience. And what I did like from the Celtics in Game 5 is not only were they flustered just with their offensive ineptitude, but also they got into it with the referees. And it shows that, like, not having a veteran leader outside of Al Horford, really hindered them in Games 4 and 5. You think about Game 4 in the fourth quarter, that was a series right there to me. I thought the winner of Game 4 would win the series. And the Warriors go ahead and outlast the Celtics with a devastating 17-3 run to end the game. And, of course, we know what Steph Curry did. So my gut is telling me that the Warriors do not want to send us back to Game 7, where a Celtics team is 2-0 so far this postseason in Game 7. And you know what happens in the Game 7. Anything can happen. Your player gets in foul trouble. Steph gets two quick ones. Draymond gets two quick ones. And it's a Scott Foster game. Now, you guys know how, like, I work with Dan Dibley, who's pro ref. I can't stand NBA officials. I mean, that just I got a lot of media members looking at me, so let me wash my mouth right now about the officials. But we do not want a Scott Foster game in Game 7. So end it tonight, and I think the Warriors are locked in to end it tonight.
See, that's the confident Bonta Hill I thought I was going to talk to last week, instead of the timid, I don't know, I think we're in trouble Bonta Hill. What happened? What was that guy that I talked to last week?
We talked last week, Dick?
Yeah, we talked last week.
Yes, we did. I don't remember that. I don't know what you're talking about. Was that before Game 4?
Jeez. Oh, must have been a memorable conversation between you two knuckleheads.
No, he's trying to forget it.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I think I did waste 20 minutes of my life talking to you up there, man. No, I was freaking out, man. Game 4 was everything, man. But I was back and forth. I had a quiet confidence that they would win it. But then when the game happened, I'm just like, oh, gosh. Draymond's going to be next to nothing. Klay is trying to figure everything out. The Wiggins came through big. Jordan Poole's been up and down in this series. Your boy was awful. He was a little panicky last week. Now the 20-minute conversation is starting to come back to me. It's starting to all come back to my memory.
Well, Bonta, let me ask you this, because I think the Boston Celtics win or lose this series are at the beginning of something. There is no question about that.
Yeah.
This team is young. The Warriors are not exactly 40 years old, but they're not 20 years old either. Celtics have a young core. They're going to be a factor for a long time. How many championships will they win? I have no idea. What about this Golden State basketball team? Does this feel like the sands of time are starting to run out? And if Steph Curry, Klay, Draymond, Steve Kerr are going to get another championship and a fourth ring, they better damn well grab it now.
Well, you know what's funny about that, Softy, is that I thought before the series, this is a series we can see for the next 2 years, because I do think highly of the Celtics core. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are special, and they're going to have to figure out a way to replace Al Horford. Hopefully Robert Williams gets healthy, and they need a point guard. That's what's been hurting them late in games. They need a natural, true point guard. They don't have a true point guard, and that's killed them, but I do believe the Celtics will be back at this point at some point in the next 3 years. They're going to be a factor in the Eastern Conference. I do believe the Warriors, no matter how old they are, with Stephen Curry, Trey, and Klay, everybody knows about the core and how old they're, all over 30. I do think that the Warriors have another couple runs left in them because of the young core. A guy like Jordan Poole, a guy like Andrew Wiggins, they have Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody waiting in the wings off the bench. And, of course, James Wiseman, if they get anything out of him, the former number 2 overall pick in 2020. So I think the Warriors and the Celtics could be facing off for the next couple of years for the NBA championship. I believe the Warriors still got a little juice left. I mean, Steph has to slow down. He's averaging 30 in these finals. So I don't think he's just going to all of a sudden go from averaging 30 and becoming Steve Francis to where he averages 13 a game. I mean, he's not going to just lose his juice. So I think this is the beginning of a nice little rivalry, East Coast, West Coast, Boston, and the Bay Area. And I think the Warriors got a couple more runs in them after this. But they better grab this one. They don't grab this one, this would be devastating, especially with a 3-2 lead.
All right, you know your X's and O's, so I'm going to ask you an X's and O's question here. I thought Udoka blinked last game, and he changed his defense on Steph Curry based upon what Steph Curry did the prior game, and I don't think he needed to, because by trapping Steph, you give everybody else open shots and ability to get their confidence when nobody else on that team had any confidence other than Steph Curry in the first four games. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, and it's kind of a pick your poison thing. You want to go one-on-one with Steph Curry, or you want to trap him to blitz him? Me personally, I would blitz him to trap him and just live and die with everybody else trying to beat me. I can't let number 30 beat me. And number 30 has been just walking into three-point shots. I mean, he's had 14 attempts twice from the three-point line. One thing Dallas Mavericks did, even though they got smoked in five games, they limited the three-point attempts for Steph Curry. They said, look, somebody else is going to have to beat us. We're going to face guard this guy. We're going to trap this guy. He's not going to go ballistic from the three-point line. You know, Udoka, I don't know what he's doing letting Steph Curry, one of the greatest one-on-one players ever, go one-on-one against this defense. So I would personally trap, blitz, hug, grab, everything with Stephen Curry, and make somebody else beat you. Let somebody else make a play. Like Draymond Green, who struggled. Draymond Green hasn't hit a three in his series. He's shooting less than 23% from the floor. So I would make him, hey, put the ball in his hands, make him make a play. He struggled throughout the series. Why not try to see what happens in game 6? I can't believe that he's letting Steph Curry go one-on-one. It's actually asinine when you think about it.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's going to be a great game tonight. Boston's going to want to make it a dogfight. I saw the over-under was like, what, 210 or something like that, and I would think Boston wants to play way under that number tonight in game number six. But Bonta Hill from The Game in San Francisco, greatest, most highly rated sports talk show in the history of the planet,
wow,
by the way,
right.
is with us on the program. Finally answered his damn phone, for God's sakes. But, hey, listen, dude, before you go, tell me about what – where do the Warriors rank on the hierarchy for San Francisco sports? Because for all those years they were in Oakland, you know, they were the Bay Area's basketball team. I get that. But the 49ers, the Giants, the Warriors, if the Warriors win an NBA championship, how much does that resonate compared to the Niners, Giants, and other teams down there?
It's funny you ask that, because I made a statement this morning that's kind of making rounds, and people are like, oh, Bonta, you're living in the moment. You have recency bias. But I believe over the last 10 years, it's shifted. The Niners and Warriors are neck and neck.
Wow.
They're neck and neck. The Giants are falling behind. The Golden State Warriors, they've fallen behind the San Francisco 49ers. The Sharks are irrelevant out there in the Bay Area. The Raiders obviously moved, and we see what the A's are doing. I don't even know if they won a game this season. So check the A's. They've been losing left and right, and nobody goes to the games. They get about 2,000 a night at the Oakland Coliseum. So everybody's rocking Steph Curry jerseys. Everybody's rocking Klay jerseys. They're likable dudes. The character in these guys, I mean, they're in a community. They are there, and the Niners had a little. They had a little something, a little turbulence there after Jim Harbaugh. You know, it's some off the field issues, and they kind of lost that Q rating, especially when you think about how they moved to Santa Clara, which is 45 miles south of San Francisco. So, I think right now, man, it's you can make the argument that this is a Warriors region right now, because that's the one team today has always been linked to, one basketball team. So everybody from the East Bay to West Bay to Peninsula, they've all been able to flock in on the Golden State Warriors, where you always had that division. That divide between Raider and Niner fans. This is a Warriors. I think the Warriors right now have got the upper hand on the 49ers, but it's close, but they're right there.
Would this validate everything that franchise has done the last 7 or 8 years? Because I think a lot of people around the country still look at the Warriors and say, ah, yeah, they got two titles by bringing Kevin Durant in. He got the finals MVPs. Would this just like kind of end all that crap?
Oh, no doubt about it. It would be Joe Lacob sitting at the podium with the Larry O'Brien trophy, sticking his double guns at everybody in Boston and everybody in the NBA. Because of what you just said, everybody's knocked Steph Curry, they knocked Draymond Green, you know, and nobody's given them the lead to within 53 games this year despite all the injuries. This would be the cherry on top. And then now, all of a sudden, you win this championship. Now you look for Tim Duncan with number 5. You look for Jordan with number 6. You surpass the great LeBron James. Or actually, you tied LeBron James before championships. You tied Shaquille O'Neal. You're one behind Kobe Bryant. This championship puts them there. Now you can say, okay, this is a great dynasty. They won 4 championships in 8 seasons, and they can add to it. So there's no doubt this is validation for the Golden State Warriors, and they smell that. They feel it.
Yeah. All right, enjoy the game tonight, pal. Have fun, and we'll talk soon, maybe. Hey. Good
Thanks,
luck, man.
Hey, Softy Dick. Softy Dick, next time, let's have a 3-way call maybe next week for the parade. When the Warriors are having fun down Market Street. Our 3-way call, we'll FaceTime, sing Kumbaya and all this stuff. Promise, guys.
Hey, maybe. Maybe if you're lucky, you'll have the honor of coming back on this radio show one day. We'll see. All right, dude. We love you. We'll see you next time. Bonta Hill from 95.7 The Game with us on the radio show. And, yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, that's a hell of a statement for him to make, that Golden State is on equal footing now with the Niners football team, considering how big that franchise was back in the 80s and 90s and even just a couple years ago in the damn Super Bowl.
Well, think about if it was in Seattle. It would be the same thing, right? Sonics come back. Seahawks are great. Sonics come back and they go and win 4 NBA championships.
Right.
They would absolutely be right there with the Seahawks.
Well, that's great. It's a good question. 49451, because it's hard to imagine that now, obviously, because how popular the Seahawks are. But can you ever imagine an NBA basketball team being bigger than the NFL? And as Dick said, maybe if they win 4 titles. And how many years has it been now? 8 years, 9 years?
Weren't the Sonics bigger than the Seahawks in 96? It's the middle of the Baring era.
That particular year, yeah. But you're talking about a small window of time. He's talking about a franchise that is now on equal footing because of all the accomplishments they've made with the freaking NFL. So can you consider anything that an NBA team would do here in town that would put them on equal or higher footing than the NFL in this town? 49451. We'll get your thoughts on some of that. World Cup coming to Seattle. How big a deal is that in your mind? And then what's Dick's problem? Debuts at 4 o'clock today from the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook right here on 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All righty, we are back at the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook getting ready for, well, a lot really, Game 6 of the NBA Finals, Mariners and Angels tonight, a five-game series. When was the last time the M's had a five-game series against anybody? You remember?
Has it ever happened?
I don't know. I mean, Jackson, you're the historian around here. You tell us. Has it ever happened? Ever been a five? I mean, playoffs, yeah, but not talking regular season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe a game was rained out earlier in the year and it was made up as a doubleheader when that team came to town. I have no
idea. We're going to know the Angels really well by the end of this weekend.
I think it's a fun thing on Saturday. I got to be honest with you, got something going on. I wish I could go, and I actually wish it was a real doubleheader. Like, they play the game, they stop, they take a half-hour break, they go back to the dugout.
Let the fans stay in there.
They pee, they shower, they have a sandwich, and go right back out and play the second game. The first game starts at 1, second game starts at 7, so they're going to have to empty the stadium out and then bring people back in for the second one. So I don't know which game's going to get a bigger crowd, you know, game 1 or game 2. It's 1 o'clock versus 7 o'clock on a Saturday, and maybe people have stuff going on during the day with their kids and families and they can't make it till 7, but I can't remember the last time I sat in the stadium for a doubleheader, so I would love to do it, but I'll be honest with you, there is no part of my attention deficit disorder that would be able to sit there for 3 hours and wait for another game unless I went to a restaurant.
Yeah, go to Jimmy's. And
I would have way too much alcohol,
yeah,
if I did something like that. Way too much alcohol. So, but it should be a fun atmosphere on Saturday.
No, it should be great. And are they going to do they still do the seven-inning doubleheaders when they have the back-to-back
no,
ones, or was that a one-year thing?
Those are out the
door. That was a
yeah,
one-year
no more.
Thing. That's a lot of baseball, man. I don't know if I could do 7 hours of baseball in
well,
one day.
Well, and look, the Mariners lose yesterday. You know, it's what, the second time in four games they've been shut out. Lineups are out for tonight, and I saw where, you know, Scott Servais said something about, he was talking about Jesse Winker, who's back in the leadoff spot tonight, and how, you know, look, I understand his point that he just needs quality at
bats. That's not tonight, by the way.
That's yesterday. You're right. Where's today's lineup, by the way? Give me today's lineup, because it's already out. I know it's already out.
I saw it, and I saw where they had
that's yesterday
Frazier
well.
Way down low in the order.
Okay.
I have to pull it back
okay.
up again.
Well, yeah, but here's the point. Servais came out today, and he said, I don't care where these guys are hitting, I need quality ABs. And I get that. I mean, it's just kind of a blanket statement that would apply to any hitter in the Mariner lineup or any hitter in, obviously, any lineup around baseball.
There you go.
Right. So Crawford leadoff, Julio's hitting second, Winker third, and Suarez in the cleanup spot with Cal Raleigh hitting fifth tonight, followed by Trammell, Terrell, Frazier, and Dylan Moore. Thank you. So Scott Servais says, I had JP in the leadoff spot before he went down yesterday. So we'll see how it plays out. Just get on base, have good at-bats. People want to make the biggest thing in the world about where these guys hit. It's whatever, says Scott Servais. So naturally, when the team is struggling and the manager comes out and says something like, it's whatever, they're like, well, then why? What's the point of having a damn manager then?
Yes.
I mean, I can decide where guys hit in the lineup. If you're telling me it's whatever, look, clearly it's not whatever, because Scott Servais is putting J.P. Crawford in the leadoff spot for a reason. He was hitting Winker in the leadoff spot for a reason. He was hitting Frazier in the leadoff spot for a reason. He was hitting Julio third for a reason. So it's not whatever. If you're telling me there's no method to the madness when it comes to filling a lineup out, then why are you here?
Yeah, why are you getting paid $1 million+ a year to manage the baseball club? I mean,
and people are killing him for that.
Well, they should kill him for that, and they should also kill him for having, I remember after about 55 games, they had 40 different lineups.
Right,
so I
right.
can't even imagine what it is now.
Right.
The fact of the matter that he hasn't let these guys settle into their comfort zone, and we have had Boone on, and we'll ask him again today.
Yep.
We have had him on multiple times, and he says, listen, guys need routine. They need to know when they come to the ballpark,
right,
A, that they're in the lineup, and B, where they're hitting in the lineup before they even show up. They need to mentally prepare.
Sure.
And this is just, I mean, it's just like surprise every single afternoon. And you know what? If it worked, great.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. And
well,
it hasn't worked for this manager.
And maybe it's a problem with the lineup and not the manager. Maybe it's a problem with the roster and not the actual manager itself. We'll talk about that coming up with Brett Boone at 5 o'clock tonight. We're going to say we're going to Brookline, the Country Club, an update from the U.S. Open, courtesy of Westwood One.